tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey guys, welcome back! This is AfterBuzz TV, and we're doing The 100, Season 2, Episode 9, Remember Me. On the far side, we have Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody? How's it going?
Yeah. And Alexis Torres.
Hey, guys. I missed you all.
Yeah, so glad to be back, right?
Yeah.
I know.
I feel like it's been forever.
Yeah. It has.
Over 100 days, one could say.
Yeah. But sure. Oh, God.
Almost.
You'd be wrong, though.
That's such a good song right now. So epic.
Because
this episode was epic.
It was pretty epic, yeah. We picked up on the heels of a pretty traumatic event at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, yeah, and you start like right at the very moment.
At mm-hmm. the scene of the crime, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss you, Finn, so much.
You'll get him in ghost form, I assume.
I did. I was actually okay with that. I was like, yay, last time, but also really sad.
Yeah.
Something I thought about, we're immediately going to get into reviewing the episode, but before we do, I wanted to just pose a question. So something to sort
Go
of think about as we review the episode today.
Mm-hmm.
Often in like sports and movies, they talk about like top 10 power rankings, essentially, Oscar nominations, things like that. I kind of want to think now that with Finn being gone, What are the power rankings for characters? Who are the 10 best, like, in order? I know that's a subjective question.
Right.
But it's something to think about. Maybe, like, we don't have to, like, break it down right now. But as fans, as viewers, if you guys are watching this and you're thinking to yourselves, I wonder who my 10 are, like, leave it in the comments or
yeah.
tweet at us about it.
Both.
I'm curious. I'm going to sort of start thinking about it. It just came to mind because Lexa and Indra are so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like them so much now.
Yeah.
Where do they fall? Anyway, we'll talk about it. But think about it.
But yeah, so
yes, no, top 10.
Top 10.
As they say, leave it in the comments below, tweet us, and maybe we'll rattle some of them off in our next show.
Yeah, absolutely. We always like to call a few people out. In fact, we probably will call a couple people out.
Yeah, because you guys commented a lot on the last one. I can't even keep up with all of there's so many good comments.
There was
on
a
here.
Ton. I'll just cool. shout out Jill Bauer first.
Yeah,
Jill
you
Bauer's
always got to do that, Jill. You're amazing.
We'll do shout outs during the iTunes section.
Oh yeah, please. Perfect. Mid-episode.
Yeah. So we got general thoughts. Epic, as we said.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's jump right into it. So I'd like to talk about Mount Weather for a little bit.
Okay. Yes.
Tonally, it was a little different than everything else going on in the episode.
Right.
So it felt like more of the heist stuff that we've been getting used to in the last few episodes, where it's them trying to infiltrate the Mount Weather system. So we have Team Jasper trying to interact with the radio system
mm-hmm.
through a wall mm-hmm. in a storage locker.
Hmm.
It seemed like a kind of a half-baked plan, but it seemed to come through.
It did seem like a half-baked plan. I didn't even think about that.
It was like a TV plan. But it, in the sense that, like, sometimes television needs things to really be, like, well explained, and other times, for the purpose of what they were doing, it doesn't really matter. It's sort of just, the lightheartedness is just, like,
yeah.
Suspend my disbelief.
Like, right. And, I mean, it seemed like a plan that a bunch of teenagers would come
yes.
up with.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I think they executed it flawlessly.
And, you know, no, like, they did. And,
yeah.
And I also like that it was a good break in between just all the emotion and craziness
mm-hmm.
from, you know, Finn's death and everything. So I quite liked it, but at the same time, it felt like it was just kind of sporadic, and I was just like, hey, let's get back to the the good stuff. I mean, it was still good, but
yeah.
at the same time, I was just like,
I mean, like, I felt like it had a lot of the hallmarks of,
yeah.
like, teen drama / heisty stuff. So
mm-hmm.
you have the makeout scene
right.
just to cover
yeah.
up the tracks. You have the costumed scene where, you know, someone gets into a place they're not supposed to be, i.e. Monty gets into the
really
radio room.
I was really hoping Monty was going to get away with it. I really was.
He was really so close.
Yeah, he was close. Though he looked noticeably smaller.
Yes. Like yeah. I wasn't the only one that noticed. I was like, he looks tiny in this little suit.
But I think the actor, I don't know this, so don't quote me on this. I think the actor is like a man. I think he's like a man's age.
Uh-huh.
He might be like 17. I could be wrong. But I'm thinking he's like in his mid-20s. So he's just a small man. He's a very small person. Not just a
but
kid.
But a grand actor.
No, but I agree. When I first saw him, I was just like, he's okay. I really hope he doesn't get caught. But if he does,
but
it's
he's
because
a man.
He, yeah, yeah. Well, he's a burly man. No, he's not.
No. I didn't want to see a scene of him getting his marrow taken. I like Monty a lot. Like, out of all the kids, I find him to be in my, like, top 10.
Because
he's super smart.
Yeah.
And he's really useful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to see him being hurt, especially after we were just exposed to Finn being, killed, essentially.
Yeah.
Definitely. The Mount Weather stuff. It's really funny. We've stopped saying the thing that we said so much at the beginning, which is like, this is really good for a CW show.
Right.
I think that's kind of like a thing of the past now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear. I believe Gina something won a Golden Globe for her performance on...
I did not know that.
The show that is escaping me, the Jane the Virgin.
Jane the Virgin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a show I haven't watched, but it was a big step. I think it's the first time ever that a CW actor or actress has won a Golden Globe. So
yes.
That was huge, and that starts to kind of legitimize this network. Anyway, what it feels like is the tone and vibe of CW shows. The Mount Weather stuff was the old tone and vibe. Like, teenagers running around, doing things that are fun with good-looking people, and the stakes seemingly are high, but they don't actually feel high.
Mm-hmm.
Where the rest of the episode felt like... real. There's some real stuff going on. And like...
Right. And we were discussing it in the room as we were watching that. They're meant to bring a little levity because there are so many, like, high concept things going on with the rest of the gang. It's so you can breathe a little bit so you're not constantly feeling the pressure of their...
Yeah, like I said before, like, I like that there was breaks.
Yeah.
He was able for me to just think, okay,
all
right.
So melodramatic.
Right.
Yeah, thank goodness.
So Monty gets caught and we find that he's in a cage.
I knew it.
Yeah. And he's with Harper, and she says that there are 47 cages, one for every remaining kid.
Yeah, 47 recovered in Mount Weather.
Yeah.
Definitely a pretty harrowing moment. I thought it was a nice ending. Mm-hmm. I actually liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Scary. And it's sort of like, she didn't really matter because we didn't know her. She was like a very, very fringe character.
He matters.
He's caught. He's in a cage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they're going to bone marrow him. But again, the show always surprises
me. You never know. Yeah.
Always surprises me.
I mean, they might not show it, but I think they're definitely, like, he's next in line.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only two of them in there. I mean, I don't know what else they're going to have or do to him besides,
Yeah. And I definitely, and we can predict on this later, but,
right.
I think it's definitely going to accelerate Cage's plan to get to get the 48. It's bone marrow.
Yeah.
Speaking of Cage, though, we see him talking to one of his commanders, and they are acknowledging that the Sky People and the Grounders are making an alliance.
Right.
And from something that he said, it made it sound like they might have some spies in there, where he said, we could take some steps to make them turn on one another.
Right. Mm. So they're suggesting maybe that there are some alliances... Some moles already in the operation.
And I already kind of figured that because I didn't feel like they could have a plan without having at least one or two moles.
Who do we think they are? I mean, predictions aside, I hadn't even really thought about it until he mentioned it.
I did, but I can't think of who it could be at this point.
They would be Grounders, though, not...
I mean, yeah, they would be Grounders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, did you notice, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there's a lot, I mean, most of the Grounders already have some sort of face
masks,
but there's a lot of them this time.
The face masks on the Grounders are sweet.
They are.
The costume design and the casting on the Grounders.
It's really well done.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Whoever does wardrobe, you're fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, they do a great job, and then, like, that's probably... We should tweet at them and let them know they're doing an awesome job. That's surprising.
Yeah.
We don't get tweeted that often. That's awesome. And it just, like... I mean, I know we're going to get there in just a second, but just the costume design and the casting, too. I really like the casting on the Grounders.
Yeah.
They're very believable. They seem really tough. They're
all that means they're doing their job.
They're all kind of like,
seriously.
Kind of like Bane a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have the, like, skull masks and things.
Yeah.
You guys have seen that guy on Instagram that does cool stuff with his beard? And he did the one
yes.
last week.
Yes.
He did the one last week where he did a Bane mask with his...
I didn't see that one.
That was really cool. Anyway.
Right, yeah. Look it up, guys. It's pretty sweet. So, yeah. Speaking of the Grounders, let's get into that for a little bit.
Yes, because there's a lot to cover.
So, when we come in, Finn... Or, not Finn. But Clark is washing the blood off of her hands from Finn. She's getting blamed by Raven.
Which is a, you know, a typical reaction. That's
predictable. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, that was the man that she loves.
Right.
And so Abby tries to comfort her in saying that, you know, she did the right thing. It was great, but she's still haunted by Finn.
Yeah, which again is the right, you know.
So let's just call out really fast the seemingly like endless YouTube comments that came after last episode where people are like, didn't anybody see the preview for next week's episode? Finn's totally alive still.
Is that what they said?
Oh, literally every single person. I got tweeted in YouTube comments. Tons of them. And then like the 100 writers tweeted and were like, no, he's dead. 100% he's dead. He's not coming back. Like, there was like several Twitter conversations I was a part of that were just like, we killed him. He's not in the show anymore.
Right.
How did people not know that he was a ghost in the next episode?
It's just wishful thinking.
Right, people love
I love Finn too, but I was not thinking, oh yeah, he's alive. Like, obviously he's dead. And I'm glad that they kept it that way, because that would have been strange if it was. I mean, I did like the haunting of just like when they were carrying his body and his eyes just opened. I was just like, oh my gosh. And the actor is just fantastic. But at the same time, I really liked how he didn't have any lines.
Right.
He was just a figure, and it was great.
So this is just a little side note, just before we leave the topic of Thomas McDonald. I'm terrorist. I am not a terrorist.
What?
Sorry, guys. But
okay.
All right.
Absolutely terrible at evaluating the level of attractiveness in a man. I'm not good at it.
Okay.
I can be like, oh, that guy's a good-looking guy. He's a handsome dude.
It's
but
okay.
I'm
okay.
not good at doing it. So, obviously, when they cast the show at the beginning, and they were like, there's got to be a bunch of good-looking people, because that's what CW shows traditionally are. It's like a lot of really good-looking actors. So if like, the four main characters that they cast at the beginning, Bellamy, Thomas McDonald, Finn, Lincoln, and I guess the last one would be probably Richard Harmon, the guy who plays Murphy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the most handsome of those four? I'm just objectively, I'm just wondering, who do you guys think? Because I'm not gonna
I think the fans would say that Bellamy is the most handsome.
Oh,
yes.
He's
a fan favorite.
No offense, fans. I think Bellamy's like third in line for me. Mine would probably go Finn.
Oh, you like Thomas McDonald a lot. Not Bob Morley. Bob Morley's not your thing, huh?
I won't even go into that's going to be a whole different episode. I like Lincoln not because, oh yeah, I'm abs. It's more like, I think, if you actually think about it, I feel like if you just talk to him out of character, I feel like he would just be such a cool dude.
He's English. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, he's definitely my number two.
The accent, the whole thing.
Yeah, and then it would be, I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah.
So Murphy's last?
Murphy's like really last for me. Sorry.
I offhand rankings, it would probably be Bellamy, then, it would be Lincoln, Bellamy, Murphy, and then Finn. But what do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below.
Your list there.
That seems
we're going to give you
great.
All these lists to make.
You have homework to do.
Yeah.
This seems like a really fun one. At Ben Bateman Media, tweet me, please. This will be like super, super fun in my day to get these tweets about your top four.
Okay, if we're going to do the guys, you have to do the ladies.
Oh, okay.
That's harder.
What? But, yeah. Exactly. That's why I want to do it, because there's so many female characters
so,
in this.
So we have Eliza Jane. We have...
We can't. We don't have time.
Yes, we do.
No.
I want to
know. No.
I want to know.
Everyone tweet at her. Let her know exactly who you think is the most attractive woman.
I'm
because
sorry.
We could list them for days,
sorry,
and it would
guys.
Be great.
I just...
it's all your fault.
Tweet at me. Tweet at me.
Okay, please, continue.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on this. But yeah, all right.
I want to know what your thoughts about the burial for Finn, because I know that Raven was pretty upset about the fact that they weren't allowed to bury their own, you know, kind of thing. But I also actually agreed with Clark and the commander that he should be burned with the other bodies. That was my opinion. I don't know how you guys felt about that.
Well, so the first, we probably want to just recap for a quick second, right, before we get there?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the gap between where I left off is essentially the commander decided that Finn should be buried with the 18 people that he killed, mm-hmm. and that is the grounder ritual, whereas everyone from the Ark wanted to, you know, bury him on their grounds.
Yeah.
But the political move to make was to have him buried with the 18. So everyone takes a voyage to the original village where Finn murdered the people. And, I mean, there was a little resistance from one of the grounders, but he was taken care of really quickly.
Yep.
Yes.
And everyone was burned together. So that's where we've left off at that point. Clark is given the deed of setting everyone on fire.
Which I thought was a really good move.
She collects herself remarkably quickly, which is awesome. And it's actually indicative of her character, too.
Yeah.
Like she's crying and shaking at the beginning. And then it's within seemingly
seconds.
Minutes.
No, it felt like seconds to me that she was just like, all right, here we go.
It's like time to talk to the commander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
move and get moving and save our people.
It's an interesting parallel that you start to see between a lot of these shows that have the post-apocalyptic theme mm-hmm. of people put into situations mm-hmm. in impossible situations. We imagine ourselves in these situations. It's hard to imagine what would you do in a zombie world or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's for anybody that watches The Walking Dead, like the character of Beth, it's the same kind of thing where it's sort of like by the end of it, she's just completely different. And it's the reason she's had to grow is because she's put in impossible situations over and over again.
Right.
It's like that. And that's when you see her collect herself so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, we'll talk about the ending of the episode, too. But when you see her collect herself so quickly in that moment, she's got blood in her hands. She's trying to get it off. She hugs her mom. She's hysterical. And then it's time to talk to the commander. And she's like,
well, yeah, she wipes off her tears and just gets back to business. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love that about that.
Yeah.
Character. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, she's like, if you think about where she started, just a girl who was in a pristine prison cell and having to lead all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And now, essentially, as Kane was saying, she's leading even the Ark people at this point.
Yeah, which I think you brought up before
right.
the break happened, that like the kids are going to be the one running the show. And mm-hmm. I mean, we already figured that, but I think this was the first time where he actually acknowledged, like, no, she's the one. She's
we're
the
being
leader.
Led by
yeah.
a child.
Yeah.
Which I was like, all right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Definitely, she's risen so high on my list of characters I like in this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, same here, and it just makes sense because they weren't on the ground with her when they started, and she's just gone through so much, so it would make more sense for her to be the leader
mm-hmm.
yeah.
than, you know, having the adults take over from, like, where we left off.
And hats yeah. off to the writers with that, because it's so difficult. It is so difficult to have a main
no,
character
I tweeted at them, I was like, you guys rock my socks, because you toil with my emotions, but also make the characters go through amazing arcs and journeys.
Well, yeah, lead characters in shows, it's very often they get so much screen time and there's so much pressure put on them. You know, Matthew Fox in Lost or Andrew Lincoln in Walking Dead.
It's, mm-hmm.
There's constantly decision making and they have to show the same emotion over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of stern, I'm a leader, regretfully, but I'll do it. It's common in these shows, and
yeah.
you get frustrated and annoyed with the lead character often. It's often the second character that gets to be the favorite
mm-hmm.
because they don't have to be on screen as much.
So yeah.
pressure. And they've really done a wonderful job with Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And she does a great job. Eliza
yeah.
Jane,
yeah.
She's really killing it. She's on top of it. So I like her a lot as a character.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, she's amazing. We'll take this moment to talk about iTunes for a little second.
Yes, please.
Hey, guys. Thanks for joining us, as always. If you're listening to this or watching this, we would like to express our gratitude.
Yes, thankful.
And keep doing it. And what helps us here is if you, as you're watching or as you're listening, go and comment and like, subscribe, and let us know what we can do to best serve you. We're here for your entertainment, and we want to hear from you. We keep telling you, tweet us this, comment here. Because we love interacting. We read every comment that you write out.
Especially Ben.
Yes, he does.
Every single time I look at the comments, I'm like, oh, Ben already beat me to it.
Mm-hmm.
I just let him take it.
I just like you guys. I like talking to you guys about what's going
yeah,
on in the show.
You're amazing fans. Like, you have such insightful things to say. You keep us honest.
Mm.
And we have a great time just kind of going and discussing the things that you've said.
Mm-hmm.
So keep doing it and plug over.
Yeah, plug over. Did we have anybody else other than Jill Bauer who we wanted to shout out?
There's so many people.
I know. I responded to like a number of people. The last episode, the final one from the end of the first half of season two, I end up saying that's a really insightful comment. Thank you so much. If it's like, you know, an intelligent, long comment.
Everybody loves us too. I'm reading Amanda Tavers, Tavares, I'm sorry. She's like, so were we right or were we right? The talk was so much more dynamic. Loved it. Also loved Ben Bateman singing. Wow.
Yeah. Sweet. Thank you.
How can you not?
I know.
It's sweet of you guys. What I was going to say was I end up saying that, and now I'm finding I would just say the same thing to everybody because I constantly feel like the comments are great. It's these long, incredibly well thought out, multi-paragraph comments. I get, you know, these emails that are like, oh, such and such has responded to such and such has responded to such and such that your comment was involved in, and there's six more responses when they get back. I almost get overwhelmed. I can't respond to everybody. So you guys are awesome. I love it. Just keep doing it.
Yeah. Totally. I can't pick one. There's too many. But we love you all.
Indeed.
I love all of these comments.
Deeply.
Yes.
So now we move on to the feast.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So there is essentially a feast between the Grounders and the Sky People in order to initiate their alliance. And Kane offers the commander a bottle of moonshine, essentially, as a peace offering. Gustus, being the bodyguard of Lexa, decides that he's going to taste test it. And when he taste tests, he is poisoned. It's this big moment that essentially destroys the alliance for this moment. And during the search, they find poison on Raven.
Yeah, yeah. So you kind of knew from. I mean, I feel like you sort of just know that it's not her. Like, it seems unlikely. If it had been her, the nature of the episode, you just knew she was going to die. And then we're going to do that to us the next episode after Finn died.
Yeah.
So you figured, and then even it's like, who would want to do it? It's like, oh, somebody who wants to break up the alliance. They kind of rubbed in our faces a little bit there.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me.
Well,
but,
okay. Here's my question.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that the Grounders were kind of in the right to doubt their commander? I mean, she's essentially befriending these people who are foreign to them. They've killed people on their side. And the Grounder rule is if you show weakness, you die.
Right.
Yeah, and that's where my first reaction of, well, not the fact that he got poisoned, that it was supposed to be for her, but at first I thought definitely Raven was just being spiteful and just did it. But at the same time, I was just like, yeah, they're probably trying to get rid of her because of the fact that she showed weakness for the Sky People. And I think it's justified, but at the same time, I feel like it doesn't get you anywhere. It feels like it's bringing you two steps back than bringing you forward. So I appreciate the commander that is actually trying for something new instead of just sitting there going, you know, I mean, you could see it though. As soon as the poison happened, she reverted right back.
Right.
And that was, I thought that was it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the alliance was thin as paper at this point.
It was.
Right. It was just getting started.
Yeah. Yeah. Even as they were walking to the village, both sides were talking about how trustworthy the other side was.
But I definitely thought from looking at the feast, like, we finally found that common, you know, ground. But as soon as he started choking, I was like, no, 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 no.
Everything's ruined.
Exactly. And I was just like, dang it, writers. You got me again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I definitely liked, I really liked Augusta, right? Augustus?
Augustus, yeah.
Yeah, Augustus.
He looks awesome. I was referring to Lexa, Indra, and him when I was mentioning how awesome I think the casting is.
Mm-hmm.
I was just noticing how cool and like his tattoos and everything. He just looks great. He just really fits the vibe of this character.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, just the interaction I'm experiencing as I'm watching Indra and Lexa talk to each other and the way Indra's just like super tough. I like really believe how tough she is.
Yeah.
Same with Lexa. I'm finding that they're some of my favorites and I really like their scenes. I tweeted that they need their own spinoff, but I just like we need to get them in here. Like, I know that our plan has been Lindsay Morgan. We still love Lindsay Morgan. She's still top my list. But as we're trying to get Lindsay Morgan, because I think she's incredibly busy because she's finding a lot of success from this show.
Yes.
I would love to talk to them as well as a tandem. How cool would it be if we could get them into the tandem to talk to them both?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
They're rad. They're like, their scenes were great. And that whole interaction, I just like how cold Indra is to both to Lincoln. as well to Lexa when she shows weakness and she shows any sympathy.
Yeah.
She's just like tough as nails. She looks like it. She looks tough as nails.
Yeah. Speaking of Lincoln, he had his own little arc in this episode.
He did.
Where, yeah. I guess, or at this point, none of the Grounders trust him because they still see him as a Reaper.
Which, again, also makes sense. I mean, I think it would be very strange for them to just be like, yeah, okay, you know, you're speaking for them. We get it. You know? So I like that he's kind of an outsider now.
Yeah.
Completely. I mean, the fact that he is with the Sky people, he's fallen in love with a Sky person, and the fact that he was a Reaper at one point. It's just that he's not a Grounder anymore. And I like that that she said that. She's like, you are one of them. And I was like, exactly. That's exactly what he is. He's. I feel like he's so much more civilized now. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
I can't see him going back. And if he does, that would be a huge twist for me.
I think it's funny examining, if you look at Octavia, Raven, and Lincoln, and you look at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
It seemed like Octavia was being set up in those first few episodes, and they hadn't quite figured out what they were going to do with the show as the sort of obvious second girl. She has a lot of screen time in the first couple episodes. Raven's not really there yet so much. She's being introduced. And then Lincoln was very much just like eye candy. Like, they string him up. He doesn't say much. He's not a character. Now we've come to this point where I'm very surprised they've developed Lincoln's character a
lot.
Have. He's gone through a great arc. I love that he ate someone, then he came back. I think it's cool that he's still in the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They've stepped Octavia's character back so that when she does have a scene and she interacts with Lincoln, I'm way more into her character now. She's way more believable.
Right.
I don't feel like they're forcing what's her first line? We're back, bitches, I think she said in the first episode. Which is like, oh my gosh. And then, it's almost like Raven, they've given us so much of her now.
Mm-hmm.
They've developed her a lot. And I think she will get another arc, but I like how subtle the development of, Marie Agbaropoulos, yeah. I think mm-hmm. that's her name, and Ricky Whittle. I think they've done a great job with those two characters.
And I like how they're kind of on opposite sides, how he was kind of more animalistic and, you know, in the beginning, and then she was kind of more like, you know, the beauty
protected,
taming the beast kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of the opposite. She's got braids in her hair. She wants to be more, you know, active and things like that, and he's kind of more calm. Well, after obviously eating somebody, he's more calm, and you know, I mean, he's always wanted peace in some way. But in my brain, in the beginning, after rewatching season one, I definitely thought it was going to be one of those he was going to trick her kind of thing, like, oh yeah, I'll fall in love with you, and you know, this kind of stuff, and then betray her in some way. But no, their love story is just so strong, and I can't see if it does end up going downhill, it'll be quite the ride. But I feel like their relationship is so strong that they're not even going to touch it at this point. Besides him showing weakness of I don't think I'll ever be able to.
Also,
go back.
We've talked about it before, but I'm not sure which is more popular, Linktavia or Bellark, but they're pretty much the two linchpins of the social media following of the show.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's you see it more than anything. So the idea of getting rid of any of those characters or not having them featured seems impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're pretty much staples at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so jumping forward a little bit. Where was I? Oh, yes, there it was. So can we talk about Raven's torturous slashing for a second?
Yikes.
So once Raven is blamed, they decide that in order to keep everything copacetic, they're just going to kill her and then let the Sky people go and the Alliance would die.
Mm-hmm.
And so their ritual is for each person present to slash the offender. And it was brutal. You could hear
it was hard to watch for me.
It was.
That was really. But I mean, it was also that's what they were going to do to Finn.
Yes.
And we'll get to that eventually. But I like that Raven kind of saw that.
Yeah, she's chained up and she's getting sliced, and you're sort of like So they stop when Clark runs out there,
because
Clark has this aha moment where she realizes that it wasn't the moonshine; it was the cup, because she drinks the moonshine. And she runs out, and Raven, at that point, it looks like she's been sliced four or five times.
At least five.
Yeah.
But she's stopped screaming. She gets let down after Clark is like, it was Augustus that did it, not her, and this is how I know. And then Raven's just standing there, and she stops screaming. She's like, I'm okay now. But it's like, it's like they probably severed two of your arteries. Like, they just went for it.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never had a cut. I've never cut that intense. That's insane. Those are crazy.
I was assuming, my assumption was that they since they have this ritual probably a lot,
yeah,
they try to make it last as long as possible.
Yeah, that's like, what I was thinking too. So it was just skin top.
Yeah.
Or top skin, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Dermal layer.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, there's no way they're going to sit there and have her, like, if you noticed even her cut, she wasn't really, like, bleeding. Like, yeah, you know, it was coming out. It was just kind of trickling here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I think she would have died much faster. That's why I thought she was going to die. Because the first cut, she was bleeding a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, she's going to bleed out. But no, I actually thought that. No. And, you know, watching I keep wanting to call him Gus. Gustus up there.
I'm okay with that.
Nice.
Gus, yeah.
You know, seeing him on the tree after that being tied up, that was also rough to see. They were just finding whatever spot they can find.
Yeah.
How cool did Lex's sword look? I mean, I know it's a nerdy thing to say.
No, it was awesome.
Was awesome.
Like, you see her walking around with it sheathed the whole time.
Yeah.
And then just having her pull it out and use it all.
When she did that, I was just like,
it was really cool.
It was great.
It was awesome.
Fan.
And as you mentioned, we do see it happen to Gus.
See?
Catching on.
And I love that moment between Raven and Clark where she acknowledges that, like, basically that Clark did the right thing.
No. And she did.
And then Clark's little catharsis at the end of the episode, so cool. Like,
yes. I wanted to ask you guys about that.
Yeah.
So the theme of the episode seemed to be love and what role it plays in strength. So we get the story where Lexa tells Clark about her relative that gets her head chopped off, and she's told her that love is weakness. And on the other side, we get the story from Abby trying to relate and how she killed Clark's father.
Right.
And her solution is that love got her through that.
Sure.
And at the end, Clark chooses to disregard love.
She says the line, love is
weakness. Yeah, love is weakness.
She quotes
and
it at the end.
Did anybody else get goosebumps? I just felt like that cold air coming from her.
Her last couple seasons were great.
It was great. It was kind of crazy to see Clark go from this loving person that, I mean, she's still going to be a strong character and she's still going to protect her own.
Mm-hmm.
But to see someone being full of love and happiness for a person and then just kind of just letting it go.
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
there's a moment where they're walking with Finn's body on the truck or on the cart, and they're all walking to the village, and Bellamy's like, we need a man inside. He's like, I need to go to Mount Weather. And she's like, no. He's like, I don't take orders from you. Give me a better reason. She's like, I can't lose you too. And I was like, oh. It's like, Bellark, okay, that's like the sappy moment. You know what we need to learn with this show? Anytime it's ever that obvious and they make us think it's going to be a sappy moment, we're going to get slapped in the face with like a cold fish at the end of the episode.
Pretty much.
And we're going to be reminded that we're stupid for thinking that, because at the end of the episode, as we saw, she's like, we do need someone inside. Bellamy, go.
Yeah.
And he's like, I thought that was a bad plan. She's like, no, you were right. Like, he's like, oh, okay. This is awesome.
Yeah.
That is the right thing. You're totally evolving, and she's that was just cool.
Yeah, because when she said no, I was just like, no, that's a good idea. You should take his advice, but, you know, what do I know?
I mean, yeah, and we've seen basically that the commander gets things done.
Mm.
Abby, on the other hand, she's still wondering what to do with Jaha.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, I like that,
Kane.
Going to say Cage. I'm like, that's not the right person. Kane brings it up like, you can't leave him there forever.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, what are you going to do with him?
Yeah.
You know? So I also agree with that I feel like Clark's road to being more of a, not a cold-hearted, you know, lady, but
more of a leader.
Yeah, more of a leader and not letting her emotions get the best of her is a good decision on Clark. And I feel like Abby's not going to be very happy about that, especially in the ending scene where she has the
I something I wanted to add about Henry and Cusack about Kane. So he is being advertised as being on a new television show. I keep seeing it on buses, and I can't think what the name of the show is.
Mm.
But I keep seeing his face as one of the main characters in a new show.
Okay.
How often do you see a network actor on two shows at the same time? Is it because what I'm thinking is, if it's a thing where it doesn't happen very often...
Mm-hmm.
That might be in predictions, right? If it's the thing where...
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about
that. That's what I started
thinking
about, that if he's going to be on a new show next season as a starring role, he's filming that all the time, and they shoot in Vancouver, he's probably going to die, right?
Spoiler alert. Jeez.
Right? I'm thinking about it.
I mean, perhaps.
Yeah.
Why don't we use this to bridge into predictions?
It's a good way to start.
And now,
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, Mr. Bateman, you think that Kane's going to die?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't really... He fits the bill. He's a semi-irrelevant character. He's not an irrelevant character, but he's not part of the core four or five.
Right.
So it'd be okay to off him. You have his functional replacements in Jaha and Abby that are still around.
Right.
So you don't lose a whole lot if he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a nice arc. I could see it happening, I suppose. I'm sort of... My other prediction, I guess, is that I'm trying to figure out how many of the 47 are going to make it out. And I'm wondering if we're going to end up with, like... I'm kind of predicting there's going to be, like, something kind of catastrophic. And we might lose half those kids. Because we don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So them offing, like, 24 of those kids, I don't think would cost the show very much.
Right.
No. We don't even see them very often anyway.
And they're all concepts at this point.
The numbers, the concept of losing that many people, I think would be impactful.
Yeah.
So I'm going to predict that we're going to lose about 25 kids.
Okay.
I'm also on the same boat, but I don't think it's just going to be the 47 that we have in there. Wait, 41 or 47?
So they 47 arrive.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And I feel like it'll be more of we're going to lose Grounders. We're going to lose some of the kids.
It's going to be a big battle, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's just going to be an all-out bloodbath at this point. I feel like, and I have a bad feeling that... They're going to be successful, yeah, like you said, like, we're going to get at least a few of them, but I think all out, everyone's going to feel defeated at that point.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Kane's going to go, but if he does, at the same time, I feel like, you know, if it happens, it happens. I'm still wondering what the heck happened to Murphy.
yeah, Richard Sharp. He's just hanging out.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm not saying that I don't want, like, you know, don't come back. I want to know what happened. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So my prediction is he's either going to come back and mess something up for everybody, or he might save everybody. I don't know how that's going to work out. But I feel like because he's been gone for so long,
mm-hmm.
that he's just going to show up and either cause havoc or, you know, bring in the cavalry.
Right.
He's quietly become a very good character, so I'd be excited to see him come back.
Yeah. I assume he'll come back for the all-out war.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right, he wasn't in these last couple episodes, mm-hmm. mostly because it was focused on Finn.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really care about Finn at all.
Yeah, well, he doesn't really care about anybody, really.
Yeah.
So, besides himself. But I was just curious as to see, because every time Murphy disappears, he always comes back and ends up doing something stupid.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of that evil streak in him.
So I feel like he's going to come back and mess some stuff up.
Okay. Nice. I'm assuming that Bellamy's trip into Mount Weather will be highly unsuccessful.
Yep.
It will, but it probably will lend to maybe a couple of them getting out to warn the rest of the Ark.
Hmm.
And then from there, I'm going to assume if we are going to lose Kane, it would be in the assault on Mount Weather.
You were kind of thinking the same thing about Kane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And beyond that, I think that at some point we're going to get more from the other pieces of the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's someone goes out on a venture to gather them to increase their numbers to take on Mount Weather or whatnot. But I think that now that the jamming signal is down,
mm-hmm.
we are going to get more people from ARC pieces.
Yeah, I agree. What do you guys think about Monty? You think he's going to be stuck there for a while, or you think he's going to actually get out?
I think Monty's a pretty likable character. I think they might do something a little silly, like try to convince us that getting your bone marrow drilled is not something that's permanent. You can survive and be okay after.
Well, Harper was alive.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah, but
alive.
She seems pretty sedated. I mean, I don't really know... I don't think they're going to off Monty. He seems like he doesn't seem expendable in the same way.
I mean, I highly doubt that he's gonna go too. I was just curious if he's going to just be stuck there for a while, or if he's going to get out within the next two episodes and you know, find something out. I mean, I figured he's going to find some sort of hard, you know, information or hard evidence that can help them.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know how he's going to get out, or if he does.
Well, I'm assuming that Jasper and the gang will go on a hunt for them because they noticed that he's missing.
Yeah.
So they can only assume that he's been caught.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think they know where, though.
Right.
Yeah.
So that'll be where Maya comes in, I guess.
I was going to say, my final thought, something I forgot to mention when we were talking about the episode, is that I think... There's that moment when Abby and Clark are talking,
mm-hmm.
and she has the realization. She says, we are the same.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that they've spent a lot of the show establishing that.
Mm-hmm.
It took a long time. I think that was a big bump, like a hurdle we just got over,
mm-hmm.
Clark having that realization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really interesting in the sense that when Clark has that moment at the end of the episode and she says love is weakness to her mom, this is like a weird reference, but it's reminiscent to me of the final scene in The Godfather when he closes the door and you're like, oh, he's now the head of the family. He understands his role now. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of like, oh, that's interesting. We spent the whole show establishing this really important thing, which is that, you know, you can't, it's like Clark has this realization. I can't care. Love is weakness. I have to make hard decisions. Mm-hmm. And sympathy and empathy, they're just kind of, they're not things I can do if I'm going to lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She learns this from Lexa. So I actually think we saw like a pretty big moment in her character and the evolution of her arc.
And I also like the fact that they said that, like, how after seeing Gus being executed at the very end, how Abby and Kane were kind of like, I guess we're not so different. And I was like, whoa, didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
You know, that was a pretty defining moment of how, like, we were always fighting and, like, oh, they're so barbaric and, oh, the sky people are, you know, vicious. But when they actually got to see that they are the same, that it, I think it opened a lot of, you know, doors for everybody.
Big time.
It basically locked in that alliance because they all have that mutual understanding.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be an awesome season.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it. And we're looking for you forward to you guys coming back every week and joining us. So let's wrap this up. Ben Bateman, tell us where they can find you.
I am Ben Bateman Media on all social media platforms. I tend to use Instagram a little bit more, but please tweet at me. I'm into all of it.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at TariJ. That's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Make sure to stay grounded.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.